still in the hospital and getting ready for some therapy. Is that right? Okay. 10 days to 2 weeks therapy for Brother Ed. Remember him and Miss Marianne. Remember them during this time. It's a very trying time. And so we'll pray for you and him. Let's also remember the children's home tonight. Someone in the office has COVID, and so some of the house parents were, some that come here Wednesday nights were exposed to that, and so they're quarantining for a little while, taking tests and all that kind of thing. And so there's nobody beneath us tonight. Nobody. It's just us, which is enough. But anyway, let's remember them in prayer. I've kind of been holding my breath. I hate to say it for a while now since the COVID has been on the uptick. But let's just pray that it's contained where it's at. And then we will hopefully move along without any other interruptions. This coming Sunday night is supposed to be baptism service, and we're hoping that it will still be. Moved it from the morning till night, and we have several to baptize. I know Omani and Alex for sure, but there's some others that need to be baptized, and so hopefully we can still follow through with that. I really, as long as everything's contained, I'm sure we'll be fine. Let's remember the children's home, and let's remember Randy Bailey, that's Brother Snyder's brother-in-law, who's going for his treatments every day for 21 days after his bone marrow transplant. Let's remember Janet, his wife. And then let's remember the Hendersons tonight, David and Glenda Henderson. They're at home. Of course, they weren't here this past Sunday. And she said that we were allowed to make mention of this. I'm pretty sure most know anyway. But Miss Glenda has COVID, and but she's doing okay. She's getting well, getting better. And, of course, we know that she was here Sunday before last, but at that particular time, she wasn't, of course, contagious or anything like that. And so, but she is at home, and she's getting better. Brother David is doing good, and so let's remember him as well. And so Brother David, Sister Glenda, we're praying for you. We love you. If you're watching tonight, we know you are. And so we're remembering them. Chuck, Cece, how's your son doing? Good. Okay. Let's continue to remember him. Johnny and Pat Eccles, Jim and Bonnie Carmichael, Mary Kelly, her grandson that fell, he's doing better. Miss Mary Kelly is doing okay. B.J. Williams, the Teagues, Don Daly, Trell Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins, the Tidwells, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Harold Dolph. I spoke with Brother Harold a few hours ago, and he's doing okay. His hand's healing up from the surgery he had. I said, "What kind of surgery did you have?" And he said, "It's called a trigger finger surgery." Has anybody ever heard of that? Yes. Yeah, that's where your finger, like pulling the trigger on a gun, it kind of stays like that, and then, yeah. And so, anyway, he had to have a surgery to release the trigger. But he's doing better. He still has to follow up with his cardiologist and possible back surgery later on. But just a lot of things going on. And let's pray for Brother Harold. Continually pray for him. Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Randy and Diane Ely, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins. These are the familiar ones we pray for weekly, but let's continue to remember these in our prayers. All right, someone have an update or a prayer, praise, anything along those lines? Did he? Okay. COVID related or? All right. Sorry to hear about that. Remember your family concerning that. Anybody else? Miss Cheryl?
My sister goes in to St. Joseph's Friday for a hospital procedure.
Okay. Sure will.
If she happens to come early, that's good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? I have a funeral to do on Friday at 2 o'clock in Villa Rica, and this would be my wife's stepdad's dad. So he passed away. He actually passed away a couple weeks ago. But the son had COVID and barely survived that. But he's better, and we're doing a graveside service on Friday. So remember their family in your prayers, if you would. And let me just mention this while we're here. It's been on my heart and my mind. Remember one of my nieces, Ashley. She had gotten a car wreck about a month ago, and her baby boy, he's probably four, he got his leg broke, her foot and leg broke. They had to actually, with screws, screw all that back together, and it's my youngest niece, Ashley. And the reason the accident happened was the father of the baby, they're not married. They were in an argument, and he grabbed the steering wheel and turned it to oncoming traffic.
What?
And yeah, so that's how that happened. And so now my niece is upset because he went to the lengths of creating a GoFundMe page for him and had a picture of her car on the page saying he needs money. And so that's why it's so important to know who you're dating. No.
Naturally.
No. That's why it's so important to know who you're dating, to know. That's what we keep instilling in Lily for when that time comes. Know who you're dating. Know that person well if they're marriage material. This guy is not in and out of jail. He still needs the Lord. But anyway, just remember that whole situation in your prayers. Anyone else? I don't want to leave anyone out. All right. Well, again, just remember this coming up Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Lord willing, we'll have our baptism service as long as everything is calm with the COVID. We will have that. All right. All that would like to, you can meet us in the altar or pray where you're at. We'll have a time of prayer together, and then we'll bring the message for tonight. y'all hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Ooh. Yes or no? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Technical difficulties. Please stand by. Believe it or not, can y'all hear me? All right. Believe it or not, that main volume wasn't turned up like it was when I got here. And so I guess it has a mind of its own. It turned itself up. All right.
Tonight we're going to start in the book of
Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. For some reason I don't feel like I'm loud enough. Okay. All righty. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. And we want to read one verse tonight and bring one thought to our minds and hearts. And then we will move through the lesson. Romans, chapter number 1, verse 16. Notice what the scripture says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want to call your attention tonight to the phrase, that second phrase where it says, for it is the power of God. The power of God. I want to talk to you tonight on that subject. The power of God. And I want to mention some things tonight where in Scripture the power of God is seen. I don't know about you tonight or not, but I need the power of God in my life. I'm sure you need the power of God in your life. I'm sure there's some things you're dealing with, some things that you're encountering where it'd be awfully nice to have God's hand work in that situation. Well, tonight we're going to look at some areas where the power of God is seen. And my prayer is, as we mention these things, that we'll be edified, we'll be encouraged, and we might learn a little bit along the way. Number one tonight, the power of God is seen in salvation. Is seen in salvation. Again, our verse we're reading tonight says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want to say that in this verse tonight, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Why wasn't Paul ashamed of the gospel in this verse? He wasn't ashamed of the gospel in this verse because of the working power that the gospel had on his life. Now, notice if you would the word power here. For it is the power of God. The Greek word for power is dunamis. And which we get our word, the root word for dynamite. And so literally, the Bible says that the gospel is the dynamite of Christ. It is the power of God. And so Paul was not ashamed of the power of God because it was the dynamite by which God got his attention. You remember the story, he was on the road to Damascus with letters of consent. He was dragging people out of their houses. He was persecuting them because of their faith. And he was on the other side of the spectrum. And but one day he seen a bright light and he heard a voice. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And we know that after that occasion, Paul served the Lord. And but it was a dynamite experience. It was a powerful encounter that Paul had with Jesus that day, in so much that it changed his life. And he went on to preach the gospel and to write most of the New Testament. And so that's why Paul could say tonight in this verse, for I am not ashamed. I am not embarrassed. I'm steadfast. I'm stern. I'm steady. I'm not ashamed because of the influence, the effect that the gospel had in my life. And tonight it's the same for us. Those who have experienced the grace of God know that God is a powerful God. He's a God that that is able to give us peace and comfort in our time of need. The number one power that he showed toward us is that he has translated us to eternal life, that one day we will spend eternity with him. That's pretty powerful. But outside of that, he is a God who knows and can give us power when we're weak. He can enable us to continue on when we want to quit or give up. That is the power of God tonight. And it's seen in salvation. Now, Paul wasn't ashamed. But there's another apostle that was ashamed. Remember Peter at that particular time in his life where, yes, he followed the Lord. He left his net behind. But there was a time he had a weak moment in his life where he actually denied the Lord three times before the cock crew, as the Lord had said. And he was ashamed in that moment. Now, later on, he repented. He went out. He wept bitterly. He repented of that. And we know that the Lord was on the shore one day, the Sea of Galilee. And we know that Peter swam to the shore. He was in the boat. We know the story. And Jesus said, "Come and dine." And he asked Peter, he said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And he asked Peter that three times. That was a redefining moment in Peter's life. And sometimes we may have those weak moments where we may not deny the Lord, or we may not say that we don't know who this man is. We may not have moments like that, but we all have weak moments. We have weak moments where we may stray from our steadfastness. We may have weak moments where we may stray, and we may have to tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm sorry for my complacency. Lord, I'm sorry for how I've been acting, how I've been living." And so therefore, there's times where we have weak moments, and we all have to come back to that place where there's closeness and power with the Lord. Notice something else about verse number 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And notice this, "to everyone that believeth." And so tonight we have a gospel, a powerful gospel that's to everyone. We don't believe that Jesus only died for a few. We don't believe that. We don't believe that Jesus died for the rich and not for the poor. We don't believe he just died for the poor and not for the rich, but Jesus died for everyone. And we see that that is a powerful gospel, that Jesus would die on the cross, be buried, and raised again for the glory of God, and have a new and living way, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this gospel, this powerful gospel, it's to everyone. But not only that, the Bible says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we know that the Jew was first offered the gospel. It was to them first. But we know that they rejected that gospel. We know they rejected Jesus, their king. And then we know the Greeks, they were engrafted, the Gentiles, because the Jews rejected Jesus. The Greeks or the Gentiles were engrafted in. And what a blessing that is. To know that although the Jewish people were a disobedient people as a nation and rejected their Lord, yet because of their disobedience, we were engrafted in. We were able to call upon his name for salvation. Those of us that are not Jews. We're all Gentiles in here. We're all Greek in here, so to speak. We know that Peter, he was the one who carried the gospel unto the Jew. And then it transferred to Paul, and Paul carried the gospel to the Gentiles. And what's amazing about this is, so here we have Paul preaching and carrying the gospel, But before he got saved, when his name was Saul, he was the one trying to stop the gospel. And so it's just amazing about this powerful gospel, what it can do in someone's life. We know that the gospel from Bible days till now is still changing lives. Last Wednesday night, we talked about the maniac man of Gadara and how God miraculously changed his life into a divine messenger. It was the powerful gospel that did that. And the Lord is still saving souls and still saving lives today. And we never need to lose focus of that, that we have a powerful gospel to change lives. Is there someone in your family that's lost that needs to be saved? We have a powerful gospel to give them. Is there someone that you know, maybe even yourself, that's down, that's downtrodden, that needs to be encouraged? We have the powerful gospel tonight to do that, to encourage us if we're down, to lift us up if we need encouragement. And the powerful gospel tonight. And so we see the power of God, number one, it's seen in salvation. But number two tonight, the power of God is seen in service. Turn, if you would, to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. You probably already know where I'm going with this. Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. The power of God is seen in serving the Lord. You say, Brother Justin, I'm saved already tonight. Well, now we serve the Lord. And sometimes it isn't always easy to serve the Lord. Notice in verse number 31, if you would. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. In this verse, we see that that we, His people, are to be serving people. But sometimes when we're serving, sometimes we get weary. But I want you to see tonight that the power of God is seen in serving. Now, notice if you would, there's five words I want to call your attention to in this verse. And the first word is the word wait here. And so the word waiting. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. That word wait also means quiet anticipation of soul. It means quiet anticipation of the soul. It's also, it carries its meaning through the idea of expecting something. As a child is expecting something from a parent, the child is dependent upon the parent. And so it's through the idea of expecting something and being dependent upon a parent. Notice, if you would, in verse number 28, we're going to go back a few verses. Again, that word wait has a dual meaning, but number one, it means expecting something, or through the idea of quiet anticipation of soul. Verse 28 says this, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Listen to this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, that first word is but, or in light of all of these things, that the Lord, he doesn't faint, he doesn't get weary. He gives power, and although the youth, they get weary, and the young men utterly fall, in light of that, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so that word wait has to do with anticipation. It has to do with expectation. As a parent is dependent upon the father or mother, so are we, his children, dependent upon him. We may faint. We may get weary. But the Bible just stated back in verse number 28 that he doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. And because of that, we are waiting upon him. We are quietly have anticipation of soul that the Lord will provide our need mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, parentally, maritally, all the others that are involved. We expect him to come through as the parent that he is, and he will. But there's waiting involved. There's waiting involved. And so there's the word waiting, which means quiet anticipation of soul or expectation. But also I want you to look at this word waiting in another way. This word waiting or wait upon the Lord, it could also mean attending as a waiter. What do waiters do tonight? They serve. They serve. And so this word wait could have a dual meaning. It could mean anticipation, expectation, relying upon God to meet your resources, to meet your needs. Or it can mean, and along with that definition, it could mean that we are to serve while we wait. And that's where the renewing comes in. That's where the invigoration of soul comes in. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that, while they're waiting or serving, those are the ones that will have renewal of strength. It could mean that as well tonight. But at any rate, the word waiting sometimes is involved in our life. But I'm glad tonight that God, He has the power to give us while we're waiting. He has the power to allow us to wait. He has the power to allow us to serve while we're waiting. So tonight we see the word service. And that is the power of God to serve. But waiting's involved. There's another word in this verse. And that's the word renew. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the word renew here, it means spring up. It means sprout. Or it means change. It also means to alter, revive, or renew. The word renew, it means to cause to flourish again. To cause to flourish again. And so he's, in essence, he's saying that that sometimes we need renewal. Sometimes we're faint. Sometimes we have nothing left to offer and we need renewal. I like what Job 14:7 says when it comes to things flourishing again. Things that need renewal. Job 14:7 says this, "For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." How about that? It's talking about a tree that failed, that there is hope that there will be another tree that will come up in the very same spot. He's talking about renewal. He's talking about flourishing again. And sometimes in life, we get to that place where we feel much anguish and we feel pain and we feel complacent and we feel drained and we just need to be renewed. Sometimes God can bring resurrecting power in our situation if we just wait on Him. If we just wait on Him. If we serve while we wait. If we wait on Him with an expectation that He will come through for us because He doesn't faint or get weary like we are and like we do, He will come through. And so renewing. Again, Job 14:7, "For there is hope if a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." Somebody tonight, somebody watching on Facebook may have felt like they've been cut down. And you just want to sprout again. You want there to be some kind of life again in your life. Well, it can be, and it will be. Just keep on waiting. Those that trust in God will become strong in faith, will rise up from the ashes, will contend with their foes again, will deny sin again. We have weak moments in life where we more easily give in to the tempter. There's times when the devil gets on our shoulder and says, it's over, what's the use of trying? And sometimes we give in to that, don't we? And we believe a lie, and we allow it to discourage us. But there'll be a time in your life again where you'll hear the tempter come in. You'll say, no, devil, not today. I'm not done. I'm not finished with. I will rise again to heights unknown. I will deny you, devil. I will trust in the Lord with strong faith. Many times we're in one place and we want to be in a much better place. But if we will just wait on the Lord and trust in Him, He will allow us to have strengthened faith through our situation. This is a promise that's been verified in the experience of His people in every age. Think about it. From Genesis to Revelation to September the 15th, 2021, there are folks in this room that can experience, that can testify of your experience, that you were in a low place and God elevated you to a higher place. You were at a place of discouragement, but then you were translated into a place of being encouraged. That's the kind of God we serve. It's the power of God tonight. His power. God, by His power, He renews us. Now, there's another word in verse number 31, and it's the word mount. Mount. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And so the third word is mounting. And this simply means to ascend. It means to rise up, to mount. Listen to this. The eagle, it puts forth new feathers, sheds old feathers. There's this change process that must take place in order for that eagle to fly higher. So it sheds old feathers, and there's these new feathers. And with these new feathers, this eagle, he is able to soar high. And it's all part of that renewing process. And I read one time where the eagle, it flies when it's renewed. It flies, or its ability in general is to fly high and go right towards the sun. And it was said that the eagle has some kind of protectant that comes over its eyes and is able to fly directly at the sun. And if there's any bird, any prey that's following that eagle, you can guess what happens. It all just falls to the side. It goes to its own way because it can't stand the sun. It can't stand the brightness of the sun. It can't stand the heat of the sun. But that eagle has a protectant that covers its eyes. And it flies high and it flies right toward the sun. And the enemy just dispels from its path. You got the picture tonight of what it's like for the believer. We go to a lowly place, a place where we're weary, but because Jesus is not weary, because He does not faint, if we wait upon Him, we'll come to a place where we are renewed, we are revigorated in spirit and in soul, and we have much stronger faith. And the enemy, he just dispels from the side of us. The devil has no match toward us when our faith has been strengthened. The same thing when, I believe Brother Snyder mentioned it Sunday morning, that the Lord told Simon, 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 behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But it goes on and he says, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, when you are strengthened, when you are stronger, he says, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen the brethren. I want to mention a part of that sifting that I know for the sake of time, Brother Snyder didn't mention, but I want to mention it. There's a process by which wheat and the chaff and the grain is separated. Sorry, this is habit. I have to walk out from behind, although I'm right here on your same level. There is a fan it's called a fan, and it's a separating fan, and it has these holes in the bottom of it. And so you put the grain, you put the wheat in there, and you agitate it. And then the wind comes and it blows off the chaff. And of course, in Bible days, we know that they scooped it up and threw it in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff and the grain would fall on the threshing floor. We know that. Well, and so if this is done in our minds tonight through some kind of a fan, we know that the wheat is laid in the fan and it starts to shake. It takes the agitation for the separation. It agitates it. It goes and it moves from side to side for the sole purpose of separating what's not part of the true grain. What's the worthless part? The worthless part, the part that's frail and the part that's fragile, it just blows off of the separating fan tray. But what's left behind is the grain. And you see, the devil may think he's having a heyday with us Christians and trying to aggravate our soul and trying to frustrate our faith. But really, God is using him in such a way in order that we may be stronger, that we may encourage others. That's what he's saying in those verses in Matthew or Luke. He tells them, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But when thou art converted, true grain is left. All of the fragile, all of the frail has been done away with through the shaking. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Tonight, that's what happens in our life. We wait on the Lord because he faints not. He's all powerful. He allows us to be renewed in faith. And then we soar to new heights, going toward the sun, the S-O-N. And the enemy has to flee. This eagle has a protector that covers his eyes. There's another word here. There's the word running. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Running here is simple. It's going wide open. Running is acting hastily. It's the vigorous part of life where we're moving and we're running. We're going to and fro. It's God's plan for us at the particular time where we're having to act hastily, vigorously, pursuing. Yet we're being sustained. He says, and shall run and not be weary. The power of God will allow us to vigorously, hastily have a busy life, yet God will sustain us. And then there's the last word, the word walking. And they shall walk and not faint. I believe this speaks of continuance of following the Lord. This speaks of just being steadfast. This speaks of being faithful, yet being sustained. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, I believe it is, 57:58, I believe it's 58. He says, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We shall walk those times in life where we're running. God knows how to sustain us and allow us to keep on. Those times in life where it's just day in and day out, it's just being faithful, it's just going and coming, God too will allow us by his power to continue. Let me mention another way that the power of God is seen. The power of God tonight is seen in service. The power of God tonight is seen in salvation. But the power of God is seen in suffering. 2 Corinthians 12 tonight. God's power is seen and experienced in times of suffering. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted, Paul speaking, above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. To summarize these verses, we know that Paul began this chapter speaking in the third person. He was talking about someone who was called into the third heaven. And we know it was Paul, because he says that the Lord seemed fit to send a thorn in his flesh. And it was a messenger of Satan to beat him up so that he wouldn't think too highly of himself. He had this thorn to keep him humble. And so we know in verse 8 that Paul, at least on three occasions, he besought the Lord or begged the Lord for thorn removal. Does anybody in here like being stuck by a thorn? Does anybody in here like having struggles in your life that you just want gone? I don't. I don't like thorns. I don't like to be stuck by a thorn. And I don't like to have any kind of thorn mentally or spiritually. But I do want to remind us that every rose has its thorn. Like the old songs. Every rose has its thorn. Verse number 9, God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Or my strength, that word perfect means complete. That means my strength has reached its fullest potential when you're the weakest that you are. You see, when we're strong tonight and we're up on the mountain and we're shouting the praises of the Lord, you see, at that particular time, we feel like we don't need the Lord, do we? I mean, he's there. We know he's our supplier, but we've got life. But it's when you're down and when you're overcome by sorrow on top of sorrow and you have these thorns in your life and they are sticking you and they are jabbing you and they are hurting you. It's those times when we are most reliant upon the Lord, aren't we? It's not when everything is fine and dandy. It's when everything is ripped apart and everything is going completely wrong. That's when our faith is made perfect in Him. That's when His strength has reached its fullest potential, is when we're at our weakest. That's why Paul says in verse 9, midway through, he says, most gladly, therefore. In other words, Paul got an education. He learned contentment. Like it says in Philippians, he knew what it was like to abound. He knew what it was like to be in need. Paul knew what it was like on both ends. He says, but most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or rejoice. Why, Paul, are you glorying in your infirmities? Why are you rejoicing? Because you love the thorns of life? No, but that it allows me to be close to God. It allows me to be close to God. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at that word rest. That word rest there, it means to tent upon. I'm pretty sure everybody in here has seen a tent before. A tent, these tents are, y'all went camping, didn't you? Not till last weekend. You go inside the tent, and the tent, it covers you. The tent, when you're inside the tent, if you're in a sleeping bag, you're warm. If it's cold outside. But there's warmth inside tents. There's protection inside of tents. And so is God's presence in our life, God's grace in our life. He says that the power of Christ is tented upon us. When we feel like He's nowhere around, we feel like He's nowhere around, and we're so overwhelmed by life, and we feel like He's just nowhere to be found, our prayers are not going through the top of the roof, yet Scripture says He has covered us up in His love and His grace. Thank God for the Bible tonight. Thank God tonight that I don't always have to feel something. Because, you know, we don't always feel things, do we? Life, the Christian life is not about feelings. Praise the Lord when we feel good. But other than that, praise the Lord that the Bible says, when I'm weak, I can be strong. Because God has got me all wrapped up in His arms. Praise the Lord for that. That the power of Christ. And so there's, we see God's power in suffering. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Now, let me stop there. Those are big things. Those are really big things. Infirmities. It's bad when you have some kind of infirmity. There's the COVID and people feel terrible, and there's all kinds of other viruses and diseases and infirmities that we wrestle with and can have, and reproaches, necessities, being persecuted. That's a big thing, being persecuted. Yet Paul says that, he says, I take pleasure in these things. Why is that? Because he learned that God is most near. He learned that God is most powerful when He is His most helpless. When Paul is most needful, God is abounding with care. When Paul needs God's hand, His hand is there because Paul cannot get himself out of the situation. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, all of those things. Then he says, for when I am weak, I'm strong. Do you wish life was different tonight? I'm sure we all have an area that we wish was different. But just take a moment and really let it sink in that where you're at right now, if it's a hard place, if it's a place that you're having to totally rely on the Lord, that's a place where God can work the most. And Paul appreciated that. And I want to learn how to appreciate those things in my life. One more thing, and then we'll wrap it up. The power of God is seen in suffering, but the power of God is seen, and I have to give the last familiar S, the second coming. The last familiar S. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Notice with me. I'll just read it to you. Paul speaking of the Lord's return here in verse number 13. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or deceased, absent from the body, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know, sleep is another word for death or dead. You can look at the story of Lazarus and know that in many places in that story he refers to him being asleep, but we know he was dead. On and on we go, we know that there's several other places it refers to death and not soul sleep like the Church of Christ believe. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. The words caught up means snatched away. shall be snatched away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Many times these verses are used at a funeral service. Why is that? Because these are powerful words. It's telling us that the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven as He said He would and come back for us. We know the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we know that that's the Lord's power. And that's why we share these verses at funerals, and not only funerals, but church. He says, comfort one another with these verses. There's comfort in here because we know the Lord one day, sooner than later, will come back for us by His power, by the power of His words that He said He would. And so tonight, the power of God is seen in the second coming. The power of God is seen in suffering. The power of God is seen in service. And the power of God is seen in salvation. Just a reminder tonight about God's power and how we totally are reliant upon Him and His power. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You for who You are and for what You do, O Lord. Lord, I pray that something was said tonight that might be a help as we travel from day to day. I pray, Lord, that You would get us home safely tonight. We pray for Miss Mary Ann, Lord, that You'd have Your hand upon her and Brother Ed. Bring healing, Lord, I pray, to Brother Ed tonight. And be with Miss Ruby, Lord, as Ricky went home to be with You. I pray that You'd be with Ruby and be with her tonight with her heart catheterization. Be with all the prayer requests, everything that was mentioned, those deep things, Lord, that wasn't even mentioned tonight, but You know the hearts of Your people. I pray, Lord, that those things too You will take care of. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. Meet with us again as we assemble back together in just a few days in Your honor, for Your glory. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Anything to mention before we close it out? All right. Well, everybody be safe on your way home, and we'll see you, Lord willing, Sunday morning.
care, Miss Mary Ann.
Yeah. Kind of forgettable.